Welcome back to Down to Brass Hats, 434-1790. Someone is asking on the chat if I was a previous life, if I was a rabbit in Arizona, in terms of the idea of my being born again. So yeah, I'm not sure what I was. Okay, but that's it. That's the thing that Alve has. He's a good guy, I think. Down to Brass Hats, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
No, I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm good.
But I don't know Alvin personally, but I'll tell you all something, right? I've said it to David before, and I'm going to say it to you too. You all need to discourage that kind of condescending behavior that he brings to the program. And to you and David Ellis it's tiring him with this nonsense behavior of thing, right? But anyhow, I don't call about that. I am one who agree with the Prime Minister. Actually, whether they want to call it a referendum, whatever they want to call it, about the removal of Nelson's statue. Because I am one who believe it should be moved. Right? But I believe that the people of Barbados should make that decision. Not the one person, not the Prime Minister, not the board, or not a few people. I am one who believe that the people of Barbados should make that decision. And I am one, as I said, my hand will be first to go up in the air to have it moved. Right? The other thing I want to ask you too, I don't know if you might have some kind of information on this one, this is the last one. The gentleman from Clico that was just charged for fraud. The charges said that he conspired with other people. Any idea who are those
for
other
you,
people?
Who don't look at to get me locked up, no.
Right, I'm just asking.
I think that the challenge that we're going to have is the people with whom are the people that... Very interesting court case, because I think that we're going to then hear about a lot of things. But yeah, I'm glad you raised it, because I've been curious about that, whether...
People living through, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay. There's it, precisely, because the conspiracy or the extent of the conspiracy... There are many interesting questions that have to be asked in that, and the extent of the conspiracy is something that I have reflected on long or hard. Suffice to say, though, assuming that it's the same person that we're talking about. But the producer is already telling me to watch it, so I gotta
be careful. As I said, though, Peter, the truth is, right, you all need to discourage this behavior by Alvin. You know, it's scaring hearing the behavior that he brings to you all and to the program. It does not sound good. Mm-hmm. Okay? Thank you.
All right. All right, sir. And one of the things you have to remember on this program is that everybody's entitled to call and put their 2 cents worth on the table. I am cognizant of the fact that there are very few Dems that call the program, and I do feel that they have a right, him and Straker, being the two Dems that call, have a right to put that perspective on the table, because it's something that interests a few of the callers. Down to Brass Hats, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I am good, and you?
I'm great. I'm blessed.
Okay, it is Raul.
Hey, Raul, how's it? Right. I know you're blessed too.
Yes, I am. I am. Yes. Evidence will show that. No, okay. Thanks to Miss Molly and all of the team from the inception of this COVID. Thanks tremendously, triple thanks, for all the hard work. You imagine 4 months ago or X amount of months ago, we didn't have a clue as to how we would have grappled our way through this whole episode. The aspect of the lockdown and the testing and what have you, and we are now at the end. I mean, it's commendable, the efforts, and thanks to our maker to have guide us and guard us through this whole episode. No, because of this achievement, don't let us become no complacent and drop our guard and become like carefree and say, well, COVID is over and we could jump in happy and okay, we are joyful that we've come to this juncture. But don't forget and become complacent. I still want to hear of the washing of the hand. They have reduced the social distance, but the vigilance among ourselves, we must still guard that with the apple of our eye, because you know how this COVID thing is. When you look, it's almost 10 million people in the world has contracted this thing overall, forgetting the world. 9 million and something. It's a serious, serious condition. So I'm really thankful for all the effort. I know it's a lot of you. I mean, effort that cannot even be described to bring us through this. And the Prime Minister herself, press special praise to her. The prime minister, being an attorney at law, was training university how lawyers are trained how to present a case. If you listen to her speaking to the UN and to the reporters overseas and whoever she has encountered, you will hear her how she can present a case methodically with a know-how and a good presentation. And I must thank Ms. Motley for all that she has done. And she has brought the country with her input and impetus through to this juncture. I think it is commendable. And all praise should be showered on her and all ALL, all of the team, for the unison in respect to bringing us thus far. I regard you, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you, Raul. Good to hear from you. Brass Stats, 434-1790. A couple of people are saying that they think I give Alvin too much time, asking me to reflect on that. And then he certainly shouldn't be given the level of control over the chair. You need to stop it. Maybe I do. Peter, as a regional political scientist, you have every right to speak on the politics of every country. What's going on in Guyana is not politics. It's like a day at the circus. As a Caribbean person, I'm embarrassed. And I want to thank you for saying that, ma'am, or sir, I'm not sure. Ma'am, yes. I, too, am quite embarrassed by what is happening. I am particularly embarrassed when I see colleagues and friends who are Guyanese on the ground who are taking up these positions exclusively because they are black and support the Alliance for Change. That's a part that scares me. And they are drawing swords in ways that I find, unfathomable. So, yeah, that's my concern as well. Down to Brastocks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
No surrender, no retreat. Mm-hmm. No retreat, no surrender. Mm-hmm. I would like to compliment the government of Barbados on the job done thus far.
Okay.
And to pray that all of us in Barbados will still keep the protocols in place so that we can keep the COVID virus at bay. I would like to say special thanks to the Prime Minister and her cabinet and all who had things to do with it, the Czar and the medical team. But I think that special salute to the Minister of Health. I think he stayed the course and he's always said no retreat, no surrender. And I think we have to still live with those words. And then you move on to see that we are going to open. I remember very well, a man who spoke. Yeah. Where he said that we're not going to get back there and he should refer the Minister of Tourism and all that. And something I think you were pains to point out to him that life goes on and that people have to sit down and still reflect on how best they can bring Barbados out of the challenges that it faces. And based on what I've heard today, there seems to be a good plan in place or a plan in place to keep Barbados safe as well as to try to reopen as much as possible as it relates to COVID-19 and to be ranked with Dominica and Barbados and Dominica in the first in 15 countries of the world who have done very well as related to COVID. I think that we must really be very thankful for those persons who have been placed in authorities to look after us. And while I'm here, I would like to compliment those the Cuban nurses and the Cuban government for coming to our assistance and sending those nurses down here to Barbados to give us the additional support for what is going on. And to hear that all the facilities are now free of persons, that is indeed something to be very, very proud about as far as Barbados is concerned. But we cannot let our guard down. We still have to fight the good fight before our might to make sure that COVID stays wherever it is and not come to the shores of Barbados. Mr. Wickham, I thank you. I still keep the good words up.
Thanks for calling, sir.
Mr. Wickham, 1 moment. Keep the commentary on the political scenes in the Caribbean and the CARICOM area.
Man, I plan to...
We appreciate it. You must talk about it.
Sir, from that, there will be no retreat or surrender either, as they say. Until I get a different job to do, that will be what I'm doing. No, I just wanted to give a rider to your comment about the fact that Barbados has done well. Well, yeah, we've been compared to countries like Dominica. But I would say what I am particularly happy about is that even though Barbados is being compared to Dominica, unlike Dominica, Barbados has remained open to business to the extent that our airport has never closed. Our seaport has been able to be hospitable and to essentially give refuge to several boats, several cruise liners. They have been able to use our airport to repatriate, you know, hundreds of stranded crewmen. And this is something that few large countries were willing to do, far less small countries like Barbados. So you look at places like the Bahamas, Cayman Islands and whatnot, they were not part of that. But Barbados was willing to extend a hand of comfort to those cruise liners. And I do hope that in the years to come, the goodwill will pay us dividends. So we've done well, and we've done well notwithstanding the fact that we have taken considerable risks, and we've managed those risks reasonably well. So I do want to join you in saying well done to these persons. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Master.
Yes, good afternoon.
I must tell you, I have been on hold 12:54, but nevertheless, I'm glad to get on.
All right, sorry to keep you waiting so long. Yeah, it wasn't me, though, you know, it was Mia initially.
Well, you entertain a lot of people for that before.
No, but the person that kept you waiting was Mia, because if it wasn't for Mia, you would have been on the program before.
But no, you had a gentleman there talking on the radio.
But sir, before you get to the gentleman, you got to deal with the Prime Minister. So speak to the Prime Minister.
You have to respect her office. So that's
which is fine, right? So that's why you say no complain then.
Well, no, sir.
All right, you go ahead, though.
Why call ask the question? I'm not clear on something. Are the masks now mandatory still, or are the masks not mandatory? Because during the press conference, I don't think that was made clear. I heard a lot of things, but I'm not sure if the masks are still mandatory, or if you don't have to wear your mask after the July 1st. Can you clarify that for me, sir?
My understanding is that you will still wear the mask. My understanding is that the wearing of masks has always been persuasive. It is more a question of persuasion, more so than mandatory. So you're persuaded or encouraged, highly encouraged to wear a mask in social gatherings where you cannot socially distance, and that rule will continue for the time being, as I understand it. Maybe my understanding is wrong, but that's how I understand it. So what I would say to you is that if you plan to go up under anybody, wear a mask. You plan to go up under anybody soon?
In all seriousness, sir, I want to ask one other question.
Sure.
I went the other day to a grocery store, and the lady told me, sir, please wear your mask. And I forgot it. But, you know, as I turned out to go and get the mask, I remember, I recognized that the girl, she didn't have one on either. So is it that the masks are for all the people coming in? Because a lot of employees...
No, they're supposed to wear them. Everybody's supposed to wear them.
She's telling me about wearing a mask, sir, and she ain't got on the mask. So I said, the people who own these places... Must
yeah, but you should tell her that she should put on hers, too.
And they want to talk, you know, as soon as you get a little talk, people feel that, you know. So I just went and get it and done with that. But
that's why I would encourage you to do the right thing. Make sure that you are on the right side. But then when you put yours on, maybe you have a right then to say to her, I would appreciate it very much if you put on one too.
That's very true, Mr.
Sir. All right. But this is the thing with the mask wearing, though. I mean, I've been into stores where there's a sign saying you will not be admitted without a mask, and you get inside and you see people in there without masks. My thing is that anytime I have forgotten mine, and it's drawn to my attention, I go and put it on without complaining. And, you know, then once you do that and you're on the right side, you can protest, even if the person ugly. Or should I say, especially if the person ugly and should maybe put on a mask, right? All right, sir, we're going to move quickly because we are on 1:42. We don't have a whole lot of time remaining. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Peter, how long has Mr. Motley been in office?
Prime Minister Motley, it's been 2 years?
Not as a Prime Minister, as an MP.
This is almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
Yeah.
I can see so for a long
she was elected in 94.
Right.
My mouth isn't so hot.
When the Democratic Party imploded.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And since then, she has never left. And so can be said about going after the current Attorney General and many more. So the question I have for you is, what kept them there? What kept Ms. Motley in as an MP all these years, regardless of whether people went out or in?
Mm-hmm.
What kept her people like her there? What do you say is due to quality of performance?
I would like to think so, yeah.
And adoration of a personality, mm-hmm, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other question you were asked, what causes rejection? Well, you just tell me that the epilus was rejected because it was a punishment. People didn't like you. People didn't want you. Your performance was poor. So that to me is a possible reason why people would be rejected as an MP. Now, when it comes to applying for a job, we can look at the same principle. People can get you into a job, but whose responsibility it is to keep the job? Is it you who were helped to get the job? Somebody will show you how to do the interview. You might go to Godfather who will get you into the job. But then whose responsibility, Peter, it is to keep that job?
It will be my responsibility. I know, but sir, make the point a little more quickly, though. Coming on 45.
So, I am saying then that it is your responsibility to keep the job. And that is why you see prime ministers sometimes dragging people on the coattail. But you, when you get into parliament, if you can't.
But you're going on about Mark again?
Yeah, but not Mark. I ain't dealing with Mark. People's coattail and they can't keep the job and the battle and the job is at the calling program.
Listen.
People like you,
let me defend my Uncle Mark, right?
Well, defend him.
He made a point today that when you walk up the steps and you look to the left, his name is there. Where is yours?
But he got the goal list like
me. Is your name there?
He can't go.
Sir, is your name there?
Is
your name, but your name in there? His name there, my name in there, neither.
That is not important.
That is important.
You were rejected. You were rejected by the same people that put you. They say you did not prepare.
You know why I have a difficulty with you prolonging this issue? Mark has ceased to be a member of parliament now, how much, 20 years? Right? That ain't important no more. The issue is, the fact is that he won an election. His name is on the left-hand side as you go up the stairs as one of the people who sat in that house. You never sit in that house, and I certainly can never sit in that house. So the man's name is there. Let me just let him enjoy his moment in time. You know, safe in the knowledge that he won't be there again. All right? Sir, let me move on to another topic, honestly. Leave out Mark. You got anything else you wanted to add?
Well, not really.
Right, but then, no, don't worry. My luck, try and let me talk about Calypso or something. Don't go harassing the man all the time. You want a seat in parliament, right? This is more than you ever do or I ever do. You don't think? All right, let me move on. Dr. Brastats, good afternoon.
Peter.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir, my good friend?
Are you all right?
But that goes by a name that should remain nameless.
That what?
That goes by a name that shall remain nameless.
Yeah, that name is for my friends and family.
I see.
My colleagues and comrades in Deacon's Road. Listen, I hear a man telling you today that the man, Jack Dio, like he's looking to be president again. Jack Dio can't be president again. But what I find amazing is that the president that you have elect is not saying anything. So Jack Dio is the mouthpiece for the president that you claim is elect. And I want to hear from the man that you say is president-elect, as opposed to hearing from Jack Dio all the time. Every time you talk about the PPP, you hear about Jack Dio.
But doesn't that tell you something?
It tells me that the man that you claim is elect and will be next president is not ready for the position if he can't come
not
up
really.
And say something.
What I would say is that it speaks to a clear strategy on the part of PPP Civic, that they have projected the image of the person they want people to vote for as Barak Jagdeo. Imran Ali is, certainly to voters, less of an attraction. So they have essentially projected the person that they believe that people will want to vote for. I think it's a brilliant strategy.
No.
Because left to his own self, Imran Ali cannot win an election in Guyana. There's no doubt in my mind.
Peter, in my opinion, it's a weak strategy because if he wants the president, you should be hearing a lot more from him.
All right, let's strip away the fluff on this issue, right? Do you believe that Imran Ali would have won an election against Granger on his own?
Why never have he
That's the point, right? Now, I have been making a point from the beginning of this issue that it was up to the government of it was up to President Granger to isolate the PPP Civic on this issue of leadership by calling an election when they had no leader declared. They could have done that in the beginning and skin up the whole apple cart. Because if an election had been called within days of that vote of no confidence, they had no leader declared. They had to go and scrape her in front alley.
The point
of the matter is, if it is that they scrape her in front alley, they presented President Jagdeo as the presumptive leader in a situation where people were voting for a list that had Infran Ali's name as the presidential candidate, and people didn't realize that he's going to be president, and they voted in. To me, the strategy is brilliant.
Let me respond to that and then move on to my next point.
It's a brilliant strategy.
Let me respond to that and then move on to my next point.
Is the same kind of strategy that got Frandell Stewart reelected?
Let me respond to that and move on to my second point, because time is short. Listen, if you're going to use a man that is not even on the ballot to present the party in front of a man that is on the ballot, that shows that the man that is on the ballot is a weak candidate.
Jagdeo is on the ballot.
Yeah, but not on the ballot to win the election.
No, he's on the ballot. They're all on the ballot. It's a list. In Ghana, you vote for a list.
Or anyway, listen, let me move on. Let me move on quickly. Look, I hope that Kerry Simmons, a man for whom I have a tremendous amount of respect, I hope that he will get something. He and the Minister of Education will get something going at the Samuel Jackman Prescott Polytechnic to do a certificate called STCW. I understand to do it up there. But it is not recognized nowhere. And like you said just now, with all of this thing, with this fallout with these cruise ships and Barbados accepting them, as I am so happy that the Prime Minister did accept them here and show them some love and accommodate them. I expect further down the road now, like the captain on the Aida boats it is, when he was leaving, he left a message and it was very powerfully written and said, I expect those ships, when everything back up and running, to employ some Bajans. So I want the Samuel Jackman Prescott Institute to start a course they call STCW, that you can't go on nobody's ship to work unless you have that from the captain right back down to the mess man. Mm-hmm. You can't go on a ship to work unless you have that. And let me tell Santa Peter, and last week I think it was, a ship agent called me and asked me if I can get some cooks for some tanker ships that run to Barbados. And I could get any amount of cooks that they want. But you know the problem? They ain't going to STCW, that certification, so they can't go on the ships to work. So all I'm asking is for the government to look seriously at this thing. Because if we get this STCW course run up and running in a way where it can be acknowledged and certified by the IMO, International Maritime Organization, we could then look to put some people on ships when the ships come back, and they're looking to help Barbados because we help them.
Okay.
That is one of the things. Next week I will speak to you on more marine matters.
All right, no problem. We're going to have to run. Just to say, that, you know, a good part of a political strategy is to get people to vote for you. And in some instances, you encourage them to vote for a person. And in other instances, you encourage them to vote against a person. This is one of the few instances in the case of Guyana that people appear to have voted for a person other than the person who was on the head of the list. And I find it a fascinating strategy, as I said, and the reality is that it worked. So if it worked, it worked. Dr. Brad Stats, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. And yourself?
Hey, cool, man. Hey, cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to touch 3 points real fast, right?
Okay.
First one, the hanging.
Is it fish cake, man?
Yeah, man.
You're right. Okay.
I hear a lot of people talking about hanging and stuff like that. They bring back hanging, right?
Mm.
People seem to forget what happened in Trinidad in 1999. I think it was 99 or 98. When they hanged 7 guys. Dolcini was
7
the first
or 9?
Person. 7.
7.
Mm-hmm. They hanged 3 one morning and 4 the next.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Dolcini was the first. They then come to find out a couple of years later, when they did a proper investigation, they get to find out that one of the men was innocent. Every single crime you could think about that they ever charge him on, right?
I didn't know about that, but my greater concern was that they executed the seven of them and crime started back about a day or two later. No, it started back a day or two later.
Right, then. It didn't go anywhere. So hanging people in England, what they need to do, they need to open up more things like the YMCA. Mm-hmm. They need to open up different avenues for the youngsters to do things, make the mind constructive, right? Because a lot of them things gone. All right, second, real quick, Nelson, right? I kind of a radical. I think that Nelson should go. But I don't think that he should have the dignity of being in one of our museums. I don't think it, right? They robbed us of our culture, our language, right? They robbed us of every single thing, our history. And we can take him and put him in there for other people to see, put him away, melt him in a little iron ball and drop him somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. Don't speak about him ever. Don't mention his name ever. Therefore, he will eventually fade away. Yes, that one or two people will know about him still. They may mention him, and then it will show how the country made a strong stand. I hear people talking about a statue over there. What kind of statue they will put up? I either let an artist make an inspirational piece, right, and find an inspirational name and mount that art piece in that square, right? The last thing I want to talk to you about real quick, we spoke about this before, right? You see the sales, you see there's a lot of opportunity in Barbados for Barbadians to make a lot of money from overseas. The average Barbadian could bring money in, you know, could bring in foreign exchange. But the artists would be more motivated because their stuff would be selling online only if we were registered and could sell on places like Amazon and stuff like that, right? We would be able to sell things and bring foreign exchange into the country. The artists won't have to sit down on the corner and wait for tourists to come or hope and pray that a visitor come in. He could sit down there on his computer and he could sell his things online. Or she could sell her things online. They don't have to, you know, be stressing themselves that hard, just waiting, hoping and praying how much ships coming in, how much airplanes coming in. Open up the country, give people an opportunity to actually make some money. Because right now in COVID-19, Barbados have no natural resources. We don't have any, right? The best thing that we could do, and people keep bashing it all the time, is marijuana. If they would have free up the marijuana, you know, if they would have made marijuana legal in Barbados, I tell you straight up, you will see a whole lot more cases like Leroy Paris pop up. A whole lot more, because the police could pay more attention to them. People could grow marijuana, sell it to the government. The government, in turn, take it and sell it to other countries at top dollar. Mm-hmm. But people ain't thinking like that. They're just thinking about the fella up on the block. Now, when they pass off, if they pass that law, marijuana legal across the board, people could grow it, sell it to the government, whoever things to put in. Now, stiffer penalties could be put in place. If they catch a man selling marijuana, he does not have a permit, does not have a license, he could get swift justice, he could get a heavy fine, he could get a serious jail sentence because they made a way for you to do it legal, right? But I don't know.
Okay.
That is just the whole thing. But Nelson statue, he got to go, man. Right. He got to go.
All right, sir. Sorry to have to rush you off the program, but we can't really engage properly because it's 57 past and there's another caller that we need to get on. I want to leave a clear board since I don't know when next are going to be on the program. So thanks a lot for calling. We say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller.
Hi, good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
Very good. Will you say to the person that
bought the mask? No, as far as I know, we have to continue wearing the mask, yeah. No, I said the person ugly, especially they should wear a mask. Yeah. You don't think so?
It's not meant for
But there's a good opportunity for ugly people.
Everybody got a special way about down here. Yeah. You might be ugly, but I'm going to tell you, you might be able to sing real sweet.
That's true. Yeah, she's singing through the mask.
Some of them might be really sweet singers. And I don't mind you. Anyway, all right, I so thank God that we have reached a stage where our government can declare that we are COVID-free. And I just say this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because we could be much more further down the road, you know. It could have been so much worse. I just thank God for that. Okay. And I ask you one question now. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with Guyana?
Yeah, right. That's a good question. And one that I suspect we will be deciding by this time next week. The Court of Appeal, I think they sit on Wednesday. The CCJ sits on Wednesday, I believe, and they'll hear submissions orally and otherwise. So hopefully they will render an opinion by Friday of next week, and this sordid mess will come to an end. I still do hope, though, that good sense prevails, because if the correct declaration is made, even at this point in time, there will be no need for that court case, and my hope is that that can happen. Some quick points. There were 9 people hanged in Trinidad, not 7. So that's just one clarification. And I'm also advised that Sir Hilary is a Knight of St. Andrew, which is the local knighthood. Sir David Simmons is also a Knight of St. Andrew, which is the local knighthood. The CGMG, which is the one that we are concerned about, which in colloquial terms is referred to as God Calls Me God. That is a title that is given mainly to governor generals. So the brother, I'm told, presenting his credentials on becoming ambassador was the picture that I saw of the person in a top hat and tails. So those clarifications are made. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for a very active program. Unfortunately, both yesterday and today, we didn't get to speak as much as we could have. But nonetheless, I appreciate your calls, your interventions, and the ability to chat with you this time and next. This week and next week, I had more than normal opportunities to interact with you because I was here twice a week. I'm not sure what happens next week. I'll wait to see what the schedule is, but I suspect that I'll either get to speak to you next week or at some point in time in the near future. So until then, I hope you all take care of yourself. John Stolt, thank you so much for your excellent technical support in the program. Again, thank you all of you for calling. We're having a COVID-free weekend, and I do hope that this encourages you all to get out and do something that you have not done for a long time. Go to Oystins, go to Laminarba, support the local vendors, and let's get Barbados' economy back in shape. My name is Peter Wickham. Have a good weekend and take care.